as she returns to her place of worship, I invite the rest of you to hear the words from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. This is our scripture for this week's message. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. 25, 1 through 13. And this is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, "Lord, Lord, help, open to us. But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. Of course, we always enjoy that saying. This is Matthew, right? And Matthew is... last week we were a couple of chapters in front of this, but the last couple of things that Matthew is talking about here, different parables and a lot of the same kind of theme of being ready and keeping awake. And today's message or passage is no different. And yet there are those two things, these two things, a readiness or awakeness or awake and ready. There's more to it than just those two things, right? There's also this willingness to be awake or ready when Christ comes, right? Because that is who the bridegroom is in our parable or allegory. It's this, who does the bridegroom represent? And that is Christ. And as believers in Christ, we should be looking forward to that day, and we should be doing all we can to be prepared for that moment. So the 5 foolish ones, right, they had not brought extra oil or flasks of oil for their lamp. And as the bridegroom was delayed, their lamps were getting low on oil. Because they brought the lamp, that's step one, that's a good thing, right? You bring your lamp, that's important. Step two was, maybe some oil. They skipped that part. But step three, or not step three, but the other thing that happened that they're all, the wise and the foolish are the same, is the wise and the foolish both fell asleep as the bridegroom was delayed, right? It took them a while to get to the banquet. And so therefore, they were sleepy, they took a nap, they were awakened by the shouts and the alarms that the bridegroom has arrived, and that's when they realize, those 5 who are unwise anyway, or foolish, realize they are not prepared to meet God, right, to meet the bridegroom, Jesus. And in this case, that costs them, doesn't it? And is it really about the oil? Is it really the oil? Because if it was merely just the oil, then shouldn't or couldn't the 5 wise bridesmaids have shared their oil? That was a question my wife asked me this morning, and I thought to myself, well, I guess technically they could have, but then there may not have, as they state, there wouldn't be enough for any of them in that case. So it's not really oil or fuel that they're talking about, right? Because in today's society, it is hard to imagine that you can go or that you can't find anything that you want at any hour of the day, right? You have the ability to get online and order things. You have the ability to get in your car and drive somewhere and find an open store pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in just about any community here in the United States, right? There's probably very few that don't have some 24-hour convenience store or something like that that's open where you can find almost anything you need. So it's hard to imagine but in first century Palestine, that's probably pretty easy to think, well, or it's hard to imagine that there would be a 24-hour convenience store, right? A dealer that would be open at that hour of midnight to sell oil. Yet, for the purposes of our example, that is what happens. These five move off and they go try to get their oil and come back. And during that critical time is when the bridegroom arrives. That is when they are, then those who are ready are invited into the wedding banquet and they go on and celebrate. And it's those five that come knocking later, Lord, Lord, open to us. And that's when Jesus lets them know that he has no idea who they are. And that would be probably one of the biggest fears, right? I titled this FOMO, right? Or you could even call it YOLO with some FOMO, right? If you're into those acronyms that have been around for now years, it seems like. YOLO meaning you only live once. Well, there is a thought we only live once in the scripture, and we need to do it right, right? But there's also FOMO, which is fear of missing out, because the reality is that's exactly what happens to those five foolish bridesmaids. Excuse me, they miss out. And this is something for us to kind of think about. Well, who do the bridesmaids represent to us in today's society? Well, it's us here today, online, as well as here in the sanctuary, those who are members of the church, right? The current membership of our church, those that are coming here, who visit with us online, who also are members here as well, or at Becker, either one, or at a church of your own choosing. If you're just listening to us online as a guest today, I welcome you. But the thought is, we are those people who are the bridesmaids. And we're all waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom, right? Jesus. And if we think about it in those terms, then we really want to be on the side of those who are wise, don't we? We want to have that flask of oil. We want to make sure that we have done what we need to do to be prepared. Because it is true in verse 13 that we must keep awake because we know neither the day nor the hour. That is true whether when we think about 1 Thessalonians as well, whether we are those who have gone on before the return of Christ, right, the coming of the Lord, or those who are here at the very last day. We don't know when that's going to be. We have no idea to know when it is our last. But what we do know is that we want to be prepared. That is where fear of missing out comes in. When I was a child, believe it or not, I was younger at one point in my life, and I was in grade school, and I finished it, and high school, and college. I got all the way through the highest level of education I've had so far anyway, successfully, and I'm thankful for that. But I remember, when I was a kid especially, there were certain days at school that I just dreaded, it seemed like. And it was that Friday when you know somebody's birthday was coming up and they're having their birthday party. And I dreaded not getting an invitation to somebody's birthday party over the weekend, right? Because, oh, I know all the buddy who's going to go to that birthday party. They're going to have so much fun. And then I'm going to be the one person or two people that didn't get the invitation. And I'm going to hear all about it on Monday, about what I missed out on. All the bobbing for apples and all the pinning the tails on the donkeys and all the good stuff that you just enjoy doing at birthday parties. Well, that's what we used to do anyway. You kids today probably don't do those games, but we did. And that is something that we always worried about. Or as we got a little older, there might be a sleepover. And oh my gosh, you don't want to miss the sleepover event. Oh, it might be the biggest event of the year. But this was this thought of missing out on something, right? Some kind of celebration, some kind of fun. Well, that is what's happening here in our scripture today. There is those folks that here with us, among us today, that are going to miss out in the celebration, in the wedding banquet, when the bridegroom, when Christ comes, right? Some of us might miss out. And if you feel like that is you this morning, that might be you or us, then there's some things we probably need to think about, right? We probably need to think about what I can do to change my response. How can I be better at my preparation for that day? Not knowing. And it's never too late, right? Today we have that opportunity to be new and new in Christ and renew ourselves and our commitment to Christ, much like they talked about in Joshua, where the Israelites renew their covenant with the Lord, right, to serve God. We too can choose again today to serve God. And we can start addressing that fear of missing out, right? Because it is a huge player in this thought of what might be, what we might be missing, excuse me, when it comes to the time where the bridegroom arrives. We don't want to be at the oil dealers trying to fill our flasks and our lamps to come back, because we will definitely be missing out on the banquet. And it is all in this thought of these things, of the oil, what it represents is really our discipleship, right? Our ability, our willingness to be obedient to what God has called us to be. To love God, right? That great commandment that we should love God and then likewise love others. Those are the things that we are called to do as Christians and what we should be doing as Christians each and every day. So what can I do, right? We can start small. It doesn't have to be something that changes the world. What it does have to be is something that changes you and your response to the world. That's what it needs to be, right? So as small as it may be, that's what the impact needs to be great. And what I mean by that is, let's say you are good with working with your hands, which I know there are a few of you here and online that are. You could go to somebody that is over the trustees or somebody who works with House and Grounds and say, hey, is there anything that you need that I can maybe help you do, right? A project to replace some siding or do some painting or fix a faucet. Whatever the case may be, whatever that gift and talent is of yours, then I encourage you to reach out to somebody who here, even in this local church, can help you get plugged in doing those things, right? It's not that hard. It's not like there's hundreds of us here. There's only a handful. There's only a handful of people that really kind of know what's going on anyway. So just pick one of those and ask, how do I get involved? This is my skill. This is my talent. What can I do? Where can you put me to use, right? That's one little small thing we can do. Maybe it's sewing, right? Like Kim and I, she alluded to this, I think, about our cleaning out of our garage. And I don't remember who she was telling, but we had this big garage sale not too long ago. And the reason why we had that is because we've got, believe it or not, we got new carpet in the house after some 20 years of living in there. We decided to replace some carpet in the rooms. And to do that, you have to kind of clean out all the furniture and the personal items so that they can go put the carpet in. Well, in that process, we found that we had a ton of stuff that was not necessary for us anymore. So we had a garage sale, got rid of a lot of it. And then we also had a donation party. We just piled it all in the car and we took it over to the United Way and or the Goodwill, and we donated a lot of stuff as well. One of the things, though, that was in this, found in all this stuff, was a sewing machine. And we realized after 15 years of owning the sewing machine, neither one of us were ever going to learn how to sew. That became apparent to us. So we're like, why are we keeping this thing? But if you have the gift of sewing, right, and you have a sewing machine, and you want to be put that to use, you could be a part of going to maybe just the person who leads our prayer chain and saying, hey, can I sew some more prayer blankets? Can I put some more of those together for you? Is there something else I can do, right? Can I, you know, sew some, you know, small pieces of clothing for infants that we can give to newborns at the hospital? Whatever it is your gift is, it, your abilities are, and your time allows, that's something you can do. That little thing, that one little way of participating can be how you change not just who you are, right? But then it can change the world. But it's important that it changes who you are, right? Because it is that small thing, that intention, that willingness that changes in us that we can then point to and say, that's the moment I truly decided to give God everything. That's when I decided to become who God called me to be. What does these small things do, right? What if it's baking, right? And I always enjoy a good pie, cakes, cookies, brownies. The list goes on and on. But this is not about me. It's not about giving me a pie unless you really want to. This is about how can I use that gift of that talent of being a good baker and put it to use here. Well, next week we have this opportunity with our drive-by, drive-through, drive-up. Probably the best way to say it, drive up Fall Bazaar, where we're going to give away chili and the fixins and, you know, some baked goods as a dessert to those who can come. So those who want to be a part of that, and you can bake, then bake some goods and wrap them and pre-pack them and bring them up, and they will be handed out and be given out to those around, right? And that might be a way you can add to somebody's joy of the day, right? Or enjoyment of that moment. And that is something that, like I said, is a very small thing, but it can be all the difference to you and your walk with Christ. Your discipleship can begin in that moment where you say, yes, I'm going to use what God has already given me in service to God's kingdom right here on earth. That is what we do, right? That is what we need to do. That is how we need to approach it. And like I said, it doesn't have to be huge. This very small thing, it can be just a very small thing, but it must change you. It becomes that catalyst that you can point to, right? That you can say, this is where my walk changed. This is where I truly got the message. This is where my oil was full. My flask was full. This is where I prepared myself for the hour that I know not is coming. Because the point of all these things is allowing us to be in full response, or fully to respond to the with deeds of love and mercy in our obedience to the great commandment, right? And that great commandment being, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, from Matthew 22:37. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.